someone runs across the kitchen from like one end of the hallway to the other, and I was like, whoa, hey, sir, who's this? I thought you were the only one here. Oh, no, I think I have two friends over. I think I have two friends over, is what he tells me.
Welcome to Beers and Stories. I can't thank you enough for being here with me on this journey. This is the podcast where we talk business, real estate, success, and failure over a cold glass of something delicious. I'm really excited to continue on this journey with everyone, and I appreciate you liking, subscribing, and giving feedback on YouTube or wherever your favorite podcast hosting platform may be. Let's get this going. Cool. Yeah. Guys, welcome back to another episode of Beers and Stories. I'm super excited to have my buddy Brian Roberts on today. Tell everybody what's up.
Welcome, everybody. Brian Roberts here. And we've got some stories.
We've got a couple. So a little bit of background. Brian and I have worked together at two different real estate, what would you call them? Startups? Tech companies?
Yeah, companies. Yeah,
real estate companies, if you will.
Firms, maybe.
Yeah, firms pushing it. So the first one actually was highestcashoffer.com. We worked there, what, 2 years almost?
Yeah.
About 2 years together, and now Brian's with netcashoffer.com. We first really connected, well, you know, a few things, right? Joe Rogan's podcast is great. We both think weed should be legal. And then there was that time we had to go get a pistol from my house to go buy that trailer in Mesa.
In Mesa, the Mesa appointment,
oh,
yes.
Oh, my God. Yes. So, yeah, we bought, like, the most ragged out heroin addict trailer in the Valley of Phoenix, which is hard to do, by the way. It's a very heavily contested title.
Yeah. Oh, at the time, it was the worst we've seen. It might lose that.
Yeah, since then.
That title since.
Nah, no, we've had way worse, but... yeah, man, so I appreciate you being here, you know? Unfortunately, we had an awesome episode, but technology being what it was, it's now gone to the great technology hall in the sky, but fortunately, we have a lot more stories now.
So, yeah.
Anyway, man, again, I appreciate you being here. So tell me what's new. What's happening in the real estate world?
What's new is Netcash Offer just merged with Higher Offer. So now we've got a bigger team.
Okay.
Same kind of company, direct-to-seller acquisitions, wholesale properties, selling fix and flips to investors looking to either hold something as a rental, fix it up and resell it on the market.
So same game, just a bigger team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bigger team, a little bit more sophisticated structure of how we're getting leads, how we're, you know, pushing from the original point of contact all the way through the system.
Okay.
And I've actually, since the beginning of May, been switched to the dispositions role. So I've literally gone from...
you get to sell these deals now.
Yeah, I've gone from A to Z.
Yeah. How much of... just didn't mean to cut you off. Like, how much of a change has that been from buying the properties? Because you and I did that for years, right?
Right.
Yes, sir, you need to sell. I understand, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Now you're on the other end. Hey, I've got this flip with this ROI.
Boom,
that,
yeah.
How big a shift is that?
Completely different. Just the way you structure the call, the way you're communicating to these people, even the type of people, the mindset of the people you're dealing with. This isn't your, what do you call them, the Muppets of
the
America?
Muppets.
You know,
the Muppets.
The people that have their life held together by zip ties and duct tape are no longer your, you know, client or the person that you're dealing with. It's now the guy who's wearing a plain t-shirt drinking beer, you know, who's trying to load up a rental portfolio.
Yeah, to do a deal or do a flip.
Fix and flips, yeah.
Okay.
So these types of conversations, it's a lot more savvy, knowledgeable, experienced person that you're talking to. So a lot of the fluff or the bullshit may have been able to get you away with being able to lock up deals on talent in acquisitions doesn't really fly on this side.
Oh, yeah.
So you
actually have to know what the fuck you're doing is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I'm good. I mean, you're the guy for the job.
Or just be, like, clear and concise on what you're telling them. You know, you don't want to step over your words. For me, my biggest thing is just telling them enough to answer their question and not open the vault on everything that's going on with the property.
Sure. So don't volunteer information, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you got to be the guardian of the info with the property, and you want to let it out on a slow trickle with just the information they need.
Yeah.
And you don't want to blast the fire hose at them and say, sure. Oh, well, you know, it's a great deal, but it needs this, it needs that, and
yeah,
the other thing.
In other words, let them do their own due diligence and kind of understand their model.
Somewhat. And the other thing that I tell people, which a lot of guys will ask, hey, what are the repairs on this? Well, my repair and labor is different than yours.
Sure.
And, you know, there's a lot of factors that go in there. So even if I have an itemized repair sheet, that might not be the same for you. So if I say it needs 20 grand, it might be 15 for you, or it could be
50.
30. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's a big one.
It's all relative for what their model is.
Sure.
Some people have a husband, wife, or spouse, or someone that works for them as a listing agent to resell it at the end.
Okay, so in other words, one, like, let's say it's a couple, maybe the husband fixes it or the wife fixes it, and then the other one's got their license.
Yep.
Okay.
So there's a lot of different ways where people kind of monetize the flip, and it's different from everyone. I mean, I've sold deals to someone where the numbers worked. They bought one deal but not the other, and it was just for maybe the neighborhood or a zip code. Or
where they're familiar with,
right,
all that.
Right.
Huh. So I got to ask, because I've been out of that for a little while, right? I moved over into the multifamily space, and that's its own beast. And multi's great, I love it, but there's so much to know about multi that you kind of have to stay focused.
Yeah.
So what are, and I always love asking people this, so like, where are the flip margins now? Are they skinnier? Are they fatter? Like,
it's super, super skinny. Like, really? we're selling deals at 82%, 83%, 84% less repairs.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So you got to be sharp to make them work now.
I mean, people are turning a 10% margin, and
man, that's I mean, that works if you're systemized, right?
Right.
You know,
right. If
it's,
you're,
it's like with the wholesale stuff, you know, when you guys are doing direct to seller, you know what it costs to talk to everybody.
Right.
You know all those costs. And I mean, you know, you get the whales that walk in every once in a while. You know, when you and I are working together, it's probably like, what, once a quarter, you'd get a monster.
You'd have like a lay
there.
Down.
Yeah. And then those were great, but it's not every day.
Right. Few and far between.
Yeah.
And that lay down, for you guys that don't know, would be someone who's, hey, I got to sell this house. I'm looking for 150. If you guys can pay 150 cash, it's yours. That home's actually worth like 250, all fixed up and nice. And it's not destroyed.
Yep.
So you could probably pay 180 for this thing. And
And then it's just a matter of like,
they just don't know.
How many red lights are you willing to run to get there to get the signature?
Right.
Yeah.
Cloud title, make sure someone doesn't try to come back door and sneak it from you.
I do want to touch on that too, because, you know, you and I had, in the world of distressed property, right? Like, it's just, I tell everyone all, like, that I talk to about this, because you haven't been in it, it's just, it's like cowboys, right? Just shooting all over the place.
Absolutely.
So what you touched on earlier, you know, when we're talking about clouding title and all of that, is that for those of you who are not in the business, when you put a contract on a property, you can file basically some legal paperwork to say, hey, I have the right to buy this. Here's my contract. And I mean, I know you've had some crazy stories with having to do that. So, like, what was the last one you had to do that on?
It's funny you say that, because right now it's actually in our SOP, our standard operating procedure, to do it on every deal that we get locked up under contract.
What?
And
every single one?
Yes.
Dude, we did maybe one out of 20 at the last office.
It was something where it was like, if you felt the situation or the seller was a little suspect, or they maybe had a, you know, a few screws loose upstairs, behavioral swings.
Literally every single one?
Every single one.
Wow. That's nuts. What's that cost to do?
So it just changed. I was literally going down to the city of Phoenix and Washington Street, parallel parking, going to their county recorder's office, filing it.
Was it $23 filing fee
back then,
or something?
So until, I think it was June 1st, they switched their rates. It used to be, it was like $7 if it was under 5 pages, and then it's like $1 per page.
Okay,
so, not
it
was
bad.
Super cheap. It was like $11, $12 depending on how much your purchase contract is.
Oh my God.
And then the issue we were having was a lot of our stuff is signed electronically. One of the niches that we go after is out-of-state landlords. So we're getting, you know, this guy owned a property here. He lives in Chicago, we just got.
Sure.
Another lady lives in Michigan. You know, so they're not physically here, and we're getting this done electronically through DocuSign, HelloSign, eSignature.
Sure, Adobe, one of those. Okay.
So I'd go in there with the print off, the, you know, I guess they'd have like their receipt stamp for when it was signed, how it was signed.
Yep.
But because it was electronic, one out of like three people that worked at the county recorder's office wouldn't allow it.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's up to the discretion of the person at the counter?
Technically, they're not supposed to allow a non, like, wet ink signature get recorded.
Okay, so that's like the blue ink thing.
Right.
Okay.
It has to be an actual signature, not an electronic copy.
No kidding.
So because of that issue, I've gone down there and not been able to record things because it was an electronically done contract.
Sure.
Now we've actually been able to get a digitally uploading portal through the county recorders, and it's $30 per thing, but you can do it all from your laptop, all
really?
From your house or office.
Wow, so the recorder went digital.
Yeah.
Dude,
which
that's
is
a
huge.
Game changer,
so
huh?
that helps. It's $30 a file, but if you're, you know, if you're making a good rip on these, it's a great insurance policy.
What's parking downtown?
Right.
$6?
Yeah, yeah.
3 hours out of your day?
I was literally, right? So on that note as well, going down to buy some of the lists, like the
sure.
code violations, etc.
Yep, yep.
Super old school. You have to have a check or exact cash, and it was $12.50. So I would often go to Circle K or QT, buy a bottle of water just to have some change or cash on me to go down there and pay them.
Literally, you have to. They won't give you quarters. Or
company
anything.
Credit card? Nope.
Nope. It nothing. It's $12
a 10,
and
two
singles quarters.
And two quarters. Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
Wow. So you guys are doing that on every single file now.
Yep. Digitally recording it through.
So what? I mean, obviously, you know, you and I have been through a bunch of deals together, and all kinds of them went sideways. But like, when did that decision get made? Like, hey, we're clouding everything. Is it the sellers, or is it like the market? I know the market here is uber competitive.
Yeah, I would say a little bit of both. It's okay. A seller sometimes would just get cold feet or
sure.
be kind of leery, buyer's remorse kind of thing.
Yeah.
I guess seller's remorse
seller's
in this
remorse.
Case.
Okay.
And there'd be 5 to 10 other people a week that call them or send them a postcard or they see a sign
sure.
or what have you.
So they're seeing dollars and then they're trying to go back on their agreement that they've made.
Right. Mm. Because the new guy fresh out of a seminar or course or YouTube channel or whatever.
Yeah, he's giving them another 10 grand and the deal doesn't work.
Right. So,
what
and then
pain.
The homeowner, I mean, you guys would know, another 10 grand is 10 grand.
Yeah.
So they're going to try to do everything they can to get that.
Absolutely. And then they just don't understand that that's never going to happen.
Right.
Because they see it on a contract. So.
Right.
Oh, man. Dealing with the public, dude. I did not miss the
mistakes. So it's a combination of both. Like,
sure.
sellers just either A, not 100%, like, trusting the process because it's an as-is cash sale. It's still
sure.
done through a title company. We have a legit third-party service that does everything. We have a great reputation, but
sure.
to them it's just, oh, this is weird. There's not a realtor involved.
Yeah, and that's, I feel like that perception's changing a little more. You know, I see more on the market where, I don't know, I actually heard this. This was a couple of months ago. I don't know whether you have caught up since, but Zillow and Opendoor at a lot of these big ones, like, they've actually, I heard this from a guy who is at the C-level tech suite in Zillow. Like,
okay.
He's on the technology side, right? Not
right.
the marketing side. But he said that their 10-year technological push is to make real estate agents obsolete.
Wow.
Like, that is their okay. ultimate goal. Like,
okay.
You do not need a real estate agent anymore.
Because I know that they were trying to test out their like Zillow cash offers.
Yep. They beta tested it in
Phoenix,
seven markets
Vegas
now.
And a couple
yep.
others, yeah.
Yeah, but the process itself, so all the title work, all everything.
Wow.
Obviously, you know, Zillow is a thorn in my side and your side sometimes.
Yeah.
It's useful other times, but that's literally their push. Is
wow.
that they're trying, you know. Because, I mean, if you think about it, what does an agent really do? You know, I mean, they walk homeowners through the process of selling.
Right.
But given the choice, a lot of people, if they can read it on a web page and be walked through it electronically,
they're comfortable.
I mean,
yeah.
You know,
and
I mean,
it's easier.
Last time I was at the doctor when I hurt my shoulder, I signed all my medical stuff electronically.
Wow. Okay.
You know, I mean, that's a big deal too. You know, medical is high security. But yeah, Zillow is pushing hard.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean,
You got 10 more years.
Yeah, there's so much competition between like flat fee listings, 1% commission agents, like all this stuff. It's going back to cheapest price, cheapest price, cheapest price.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the financial industry, right? Because it's like back in the day, you know, your financial advisor used to make commissions.
1% portfolio management.
And then, you know, now they have flat fee stuff, and then there's, you know, TD Ameritrade or E-Trade or Scottrade, and they're all like, we'll trade for a penny, and it's just like this war of attrition. Like, you know, at one point, I don't know who's going to be like, you know, it's free and I'll mail you a six pack.
Right.
You know, at some point. But I'm really curious just to see kind of where the industry goes in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Because I know, and, you know, I know the companies that you and I have both worked with, again, I've been out of it, but the back-end tech, you know, that you're all involved with like the skip tracing and the data acquisition and all that, you know, and just, I mean, the business model's shifting.
100%.
You know? Like, you can't, there's way more money to be made in the data reselling and the education firms than there is flipping houses.
Hit the nail on the head with that one.
Dude, working on properties is hard-ass work. I've been at it for a year on these apartments.
Yeah.
Great purchase, but like, man, it's work, you know? Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, you're putting your sweat equity in there, you know? So
it's paying off, but yeah, I mean, the model that you guys are working on is just, it's fascinating that the data and it's more it's information now. It's not real estate.
And I would just say that, like, wholesale acquiring properties business model has definitely shifted a lot, not only in the marketing streams that they're using. I mean, when we first started, I was physically putting out 200 bandit signs a week.
Oh, I remember.
For highest cash
offer. Yeah, I remember
and
that well.
At the time, we were also taking inbound phone calls from direct mail campaigns, you know.
Oh, so, I remember like the boxes of letters towed into the post office, you know.
So I don't know.
What's like the... So what is it now? Is it SEO? Is it?
So the SEO stuff is good. The you know, pay-per-click and online lead gen is great. Mm-hmm. It's expensive though to be in that game.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's kind of, you know, you got to spend money to make money. So these leads cost a lot. And then once you get the leads, you're able to capitalize on those opportunities. But
that's expensive revenue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not the greatest.
And expensive, like here in Phoenix, I don't know exactly, but I would say it's over $1,000 for like a pay-per-click or like SEO lead. Yeah.
Is it that much?
Yeah. On the ones that you're closing or converting, like you might get 20 leads and then you close two of them. Yeah. Yeah. Versus some other stuff that is a little bit less cost effective and you can do in a mass scale once you have the data.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well call it. You might as well text it.
Sure.
And if you can hit it with a RBM or, you know, ringless voicemail.
Yeah, I know those got really popular for a while.
Yeah. So I'd say that's where, like, the new trend is going.
Mm-hmm.
And the water seemed to be really saturated in the cold calling and the texting and RBMs right now.
Oh, yeah.
Versus when we started, it was like, you know, bandit signs and direct mail. And
old school, man.
I mean, Jared and I were out door knocking when I first started. So it's completely shifted to...
So what else is coming up, right? So you've got data. You've got all the skip tracing. I know we talked about that. Is there some new... I mean, is someone coming up with the latest and greatest, or is that just where it is?
I think that's where it is. The best thing I would think would be just organic word of mouth within your community. Obviously, it's really hard, especially here in Phoenix, because it's so saturated, but if you guys have a niche or a specific area or zip code that you're able to know the market like the back of your hand, or you have a good contractor or repair crew that could work there and get these turned quickly, that's a huge advantage.
For sure,
man. I mean, we've got horror stories from the last company on fix and flips that have gone sideways having to sue people. And
yeah, those were really bad. I remember sitting in meetings with Danny and Jared when they went sideways and, you know, contractors running off with money and, you know, what should have taken a month took 3 months.
Materials getting stolen from a job site or tools or...
All day. I mean, it happened to me. My first flip in Phoenix, you know, the crackheads got my whole tool, like, had one of those giant, like, gang boxes that go in the truck.
Okay.
Cleaned it out.
And thousands of dollars of tools and equipment.
Thousands.
Yeah. Tens of thousands, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, it sucked. So,
It's not as easy as all these infomercials claim it to be.
Thank you. I'm glad someone else is saying that. I wrote up, I've been writing a lot on Quora, and one of the questions that came up the other day was, why don't the companies that teach you how to flip houses just flip the houses?
That's the hardest part.
Yeah, exactly. And that was what I said. I'm like, because it's way easier to sell education and information than it is to actually do the project, you know?
And now in 2019, I mean, fast or rewind back to 2012, 2014,
you
could turn and burn 50 to 100K on a good property. Now those margins are a lot smaller.
Yeah, they are. But I think, I mean, I love your local idea. Like, that's what I did when I decided to go into the small multifamily.
Well, look
space.
At you, yeah, just you know, niche thing. Like, you've got like, multifamily.
But it's one neighborhood.
Right.
Like,
right.
It is literally, I can drive around it in 10 minutes in the golf cart. Right?
And you know exactly what things should cost.
I know what they should cost. I know the local handyman who, you know, he'll show up probably Tuesday, but if you pay him Friday, he's not going to show up Monday. So don't get materials dropped until Tuesday morning.
Right.
Because he's not going to be there.
And that's the experience you have from doing. 20 of these that you know.
But it does, but I mean, it does work. It's just work.
Right.
You know? And you know this. Like, you and I talk about this with like a lot of the podcasts that we watch and the people that we look up to. You know, you got the Jocko Willings of the world and all that. Like, get up and do the work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember, you know, back when I was working with you guys in the team, it's like, not everybody wants to do that.
It's not for everybody.
You know?
It's hard.
I mean,
it's
even being on the phones and being an acquisition manager, you know? It's not like you're not riding around in your car sipping lattes all day just signing deals and making money.
Right.
You got to grind it out, you know?
You're going to appointments in neighborhoods you'd probably never drive through if you didn't have to. Well, bringing back the story of Darwin's gun incident where we needed a little protection on this...
That was a really sketchy trailer park, by the way. That was a really, no, drop popcorn. Yeah, that was a really sketchy trailer park.
Yeah.
What was that guy's name?
Nolan.
So Brian and I are buying this trailer. Where was that?
Almost
Apache Junction. Brian and I are wandering around this trailer, which, for the record, looks like the back end of Bangalore, right? There's stuff everywhere, and I forget. I think maybe I was talking to the neighbor, and then I hear Brian go, "Can I help you?"
And he pops out of the corner.
Turn around, and this guy pops out of the trailer. Like, he was living there, right?
Yeah, living or just looking after the place. I don't know. One of the two.
About that big around.
Yeah.
You know, he'd probably been on a diet of heroin and God knows what for about a year.
Polar pops.
So many polar pops. No. But yeah, man, that one, you do. You wind up in some sketchy situations sometimes. I don't know if you know Stephanie Polidora. She's mm-hmm. with Freedom Cash Offer. So I had her on this one, you know, and we're talking about, and I mean, kudos to that girl, man, because it's just like, you know, if you are, you know, she's single all by herself, like out in some of these neighborhoods, like, I barely want to go there.
right.
I'm 180 pounds with a gun.
Right.
And she does it, but it's just, it is amazing how it works, you know? But, God, that trailer, I'll never forget that one. So what else have you guys had recently in terms of really bad properties? Because I know there have been a couple.
I had one recently. I did a walkthrough. We had to cancel on it because once we did the walkthrough, the interior condition was so bad. This was on 59th Ave and Thomas. I literally go there. There's a guy working on a car in the driveway. It's up on jack stands. Mm-hmm. Introduced myself. He was the point of contact that was supposed to be there. We start going inside to look at the interior of the home. I get into the kitchen. Someone runs across the kitchen from like one end of the hallway to the other. And I was like, "Whoa, hey, sir, who's this? I thought you were the only one here." "Oh no, I think I have two friends over." "I think I have two friends over," is what he tells me. In this house, there's no utilities on, so there's no lights.
What?
He has like a generator rigged up to batteries and stuff.
Oh my God.
No running water. I go to find out that there are two other people here. One guy is literally on a mattress in a bedroom with sheets taped or nailed into the window with like the belt around his arm, the whole show.
Oh no.
continue to walk the place, we estimated it needed like $15 a square foot, you know, and it would be like a $22,000 rehab. Mm-hmm. This thing needs everything. Wasn't a deal. I got photos and everything.
Yeah.
Went back to the office. We flipped through it. Ended up having to cancel on it. But
gonna go hard.
There's some interesting properties that you walk through here. And yet again, that's the nature of the beast, though. You're not going to sell that house with an agent on the MLS.
Oh, God, no.
They need someone like this who's used to this type of scenario and is willing to get these things at a discount because you're dealing with a lot of problems and issues that no one else does.
Yeah, no, so. I mean, and that's just, I mean, and that's the thing I try to tell everybody. It's like, it's so much work, right? Like, you would think that spending money wouldn't be all that hard to do.
Right.
But buying a house in that type of condition is really hard work, you know?
Yeah.
It takes, you have to know what construction is going to cost, you got to know how to buy it, how long it's going to take, you know? You got to be able to clear out the dude with the belt in his arm, like, hey man, you got to go somewhere else.
Right.
You know, you can't do that here anymore.
Right. There was another one we had on like 79th Ave in McDowell.
Was this the MS-13 house?
Yeah, so I texted you about that. So
yes.
We have this one under contract. I've got buyers that are already, they've already signed the assignment contract.
So they're ready to go.
They just needed their construction crew to go over there, bid the labor materials for the project, order it. Monday it closes, we're all good.
Yeah.
They go there Friday, and back window was broken or however they got through. Apparently there were gang members that were in there. They spooked the contractors that worked there to the point where they wouldn't go back. They did not feel comfortable going back to complete the project. And I take it these guys are gonna make thousands of dollars on this project for their labor, and they didn't wanna do it. So I texted our buyer back. I'm like, hey, I'm a tall, skinny white kid from Scottsdale who went in there and took the photos. I didn't have any issue. Your contractors have hammers and tools and stuff.
Yeah, like, and there's a lot of them.
What's the issue? Yeah, come on.
Did you close it?
It's supposed to close on Tuesday.
Dude, may the closing gods be with you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That, you know, there's always some crazy situations or stories. Another one, it was a two-story, like 3,200 square foot home in Avondale. Beautiful place.
Nice
subdivision.
Yeah.
Really good neighborhood. Seller's son lives like 7 or 8 houses down.
Okay.
They're doing their final like walkthrough before they leave.
Mm-hmm.
2 days prior to close. They were going to take the appliances. We were all cool with that. The people that were buying it were going to flip it, put new stuff in anyway.
Sure.
Well, on the way to take the appliances, I guess the son had a key who lives in the same spec build, 7, 8 houses down, took 2 ceiling fans, a toilet, 8 or 9 cabinet doors off the top shelf.
No.
And our people go in on Monday at close, and they're like, hey, we knew they were going to take the appliances, but where's all the stuff in the kitchen? And I'm getting texts, then they go upstairs, hey, we're missing a ceiling fan here, hey, there's no toilet in the bathroom. So this guy must have just grabbed all the stuff that was used or worn in his home and just replaced it.
Yeah, why not, right?
Right?
It's just down the street, you know it fits. No. The Zero Dark 30 remodel.
So afterwards, I'm trying to coordinate with him to drop the stuff back off that he took because it's not really his. Big miscommunication.
Yo, here's your used toilet back, man.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, the random stuff that you don't find out about if you're just, oh, I'm going to lock this up and pass it on. You know, getting into that dispositions role, it's like.
Yeah, all those problems.
Code violation liens.
Sure.
Child support, dealing with one that has a child support lien with his ex-wife who lives in Texas.
Yeah,
we're
they don't mess around with those either.
Through the attorney general's office.
Oh my God.
So they've got to get on a conference call together because she's owed 120 grand and his share of the house is like 38 grand. So.
And he does, I mean, you got to. That's all you're going to get.
Yeah, no, I've convinced her to be on board. It's either this or nothing.
Dude, I love it.
He's an old guy on disability. She's stipending his Social Security. He has no money. She's never going to get any money from him. So it's like, this is your one shot out. So there's all types of issues, you know. we have a lawyer on retainer, you know, that's just, hey.
Hey.
I love it when
you call.
Yeah.
My billing rate just went up.
So.
Wow.
It's definitely not your traditional, you know, buy a property, make it look nice like they tell you on HGTV, and yeah. then you resell it for full ask in a week, you know.
So do you track, because I've always been curious about this. I used to do it at High Sketch Offer. Do you ever track the flips to the end, like when you sell them to
a
guy?
Yeah.
What's that look like?
So there's a, like, okay, remember when we first started Net Cash Offer, I got that uh-huh. land deal?
Yeah.
And we made a killing off that land
yeah, yeah.
deal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
great.
Still a piece of dirt.
Really?
And this was like a year and a half ago.
Wow, they haven't done anything with it?
Nothing. There's been a lot of flips that I'll just check to see like what the guy made on it, you know?
Sure.
Like if he did well, call him back. Hey, it looks like you did great on this. Are you looking for another one?
Yeah, what, yeah.
You know, and there's some people that they do make a killing. They're hungry. They want another project. That worked out really well for them. There's other mm-hmm. people that get sucked in with an agent that tells them to list it too high, and then they got to price drop it, and then the days on market go up, and the property kind of goes stale. And then what you thought you were going to make 30 grand on,
yeah,
it cost you like 250, you're now going to probably make like 10 to 15, and it was a colossal waste of time.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like my first flip.
Yeah, so but
I worked really hard and made like 8 grand.
Yeah.
I've been better off working at Starbucks making lattes. You know, not getting things stolen from me.
Right.
But yeah. So, and you and I have talked a lot about this in the past. You know, I love to touch on it, is that, you know, you've got this crazy bartender. Do you mind? This is the old school neon, I believe. If you're in the neighborhood, come check out Goldwater Brewing. They're incredible. Yeah. You know, you and I talk about it a lot. It's like, this is not a standard issue job.
No.
Right? It's just like, it's kind of like playing defense. It's like, what the hell is going to come out of the other end of that phone today? So, you know, you and I have talked a lot about mindset and like taking care of yourself and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's important to touch on, because I, you know, I talk to a lot of other people in the business who, you know, have trouble balancing like health and work and life and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So how is, like, what have you had to shift up? Because you've been at this now, what, 4 years?
Yeah, pretty, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost, this is coming in up on my fourth year.
Yeah, third and a half, because I started working with you in 2016.
Beginning of 16, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a while. Like, how do you juggle all that?
The one thing I kind of got from you was just getting into, like, kind of this Jocko, Andy Frisella, Aubrey mm-hmm. Day, like, win the day, try to have a power list. You need to have a plan before you go into battle. And
sure.
you need to be prepared for battle, or you're going to fucking lose that battle. Sorry for the F word there.
Oh, no, we say that all the time. It's
yeah, if you're not prepared to go into this with a good mindset, or, like, mm-hmm. you know, sustaining the ebbs and flows of your
sure.
commission checks or whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
it's something you got to do on a daily basis. Like, you got to wake up, meditate, work out,
yeah,
eat
really,
clean food.
Really take care of yourself.
And that'll help you be able to withstand mm-hmm. a long day on the phone where you're getting pounded
mm-hmm.
from sellers, from buyers,
all sides.
From a crazy agent or whoever. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is just constantly trying to like grow and improve. Like, I've learned a tremendous amount of knowledge from you, and just being mm-hmm. in your presence, from your sales experience, sales training, really
yeah.
helped me in acquisitions. So if you're not trying to like rise up and be the cream of the crop, you're going to get washed out, especially in something like real estate. I mean,
yeah,
it's just way too competitive.
And I'm really glad you touched on that, because, you know, I have, I always get a little, like, my antenna kind of goes up when everyone's like, I forget who I was talking to with this, but probably for the last 6 months, every time I've been in an Uber or a Lyft, every driver has been like, because they always ask, you know, what do you do? And I've literally tried to stop saying I'm in real estate, because they all say the same thing, like, oh yeah, I'm trying to get into that. I'm going.
Yeah, right? It was like, two
yeah.
summers ago
mm-hmm.
when the Uber and Lyft start mentioning cryptocurrency,
yeah.
it's time to get out.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
But I do, and it's good to hear you say that stuff, because it is super competitive, you know? And
oh, yeah.
the fact of it is, you know, I see some guys that you and I have worked with in the past, and, you know, we won't drop names, but, you know, they've been given all the tools for success, and they're still more or less stagnant,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's easy to get into it. You know, you can go to a wholesaling office and you can make $5,000 or $8,000 a month and not work that hard. It's not that hard to do, but you never really go anywhere, you know?
Right. You're somewhat just stuck in the race of like your next commission check.
Yeah.
You know, you're chasing that big assignment fee.
Oh, any day now I'm going to be rich and, you know.
Right.
But they don't treat it like a job and they don't really take care of themselves. And, you know, I mean, in a way it's sad to see, but on the other hand, it's like, like I tell everyone, like, this is such a competitive market. Like, I can tell you what to say. You could tell them what to say.
Right.
Right. We could literally, I mean, you could write out the business plan. Like, here's the list. Here's how to skip trace it. Here's how to call it. Here's how to RVM it. I mean, let's face it. 1 out of 10 people are actually going
to
do the work.
Right. Right. And that goes back to the Gary Vee thing. Like, you could tell everyone everything.
Mm-hmm.
Very few are going to take action and actually do what you say.
Yeah.
So.
No, and that's it. It's just interesting to hear another person say that, because like I said, I've seen it so many times. You know, people hit me up for advice, or they'll watch one of these and say, oh my God, I learned so much.
Yeah.
And I've just, for fun, like, checked back in with them. Hey, what have you done?
Right. Right.
It's like, come on, man.
Oh, I've tried to do Forex trading. Oh, I tried to get into cryptocurrency.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to buy diabetes strips on Craigslist. Yeah. Like, no, dude. Like, you're either, you know, you're kind of, I mean, you've learned this, like, you're in or you're out, you know?
And, yeah, I mean, just being committed to it, there is no plan B. There's no backup plan. There's no fallback. I mean, you're in this.
Yeah, 100%. I'm not gonna go wait tables if it doesn't work. Like,
right.
You make a deal happen, come hell or high water.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, I'm grateful there's guys out there that are, you know, like, the Jockos of the world, right? Like, hey, man, get up, get after it, like, you know. Aubrey Marcus and all the other guys. I mean, you know, I love Sean Whalen. Sean's great. He's actually on a friend of mine's podcast I got to listen to, and just so good, like, so grateful, so humble, just really, really cool dude. But I mean, I'm glad there's guys out there that are like that, that just put it out in the world.
Yeah, you have to.
You know?
Also, getting into something like this that is super competitive, in these, like, dips or, you know, the swings of, oh, we just closed a bunch of deals, we've got great commission checks coming in, the pipeline's dry, we don't have any, you know, and everyone goes through that. So it really kind of makes you prioritize and think about what's important to you, or, like, why you got into this. Like, you and I think, both have a common mindset towards the end goal. Like, we don't need a Ferrari, but we're comfortable with, you know, a nice car and a modest lifestyle with freedom.
Yeah,
you know,
and it does offer that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it, and you know, you can get to a point where you're not chained to a desk all the time.
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, the price of that is, as you know, when there's work to be done,
you better
buckle the fuck down and get it done.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember you and I, you know, at the office early, banging out all the phone calls, you know, leaving late. But on the other hand, like, there's times when you don't have to do that.
Right.
You know, and you can go, like, for you, you know, you can go play golf on Tuesday, or I can go shoot skeet, or I can go take the dog to the park, or, you know, and that trade-off is really, really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, just, you know, I think it's important to tell everybody about the reality of it, you know?
And one of the things that I've seen a lot of people do is they get caught up in the chase, and they're getting success, they're leveling up, their business is grossing more revenue, it's more automated, or whatever they're trying to do, the fine little tweaks.
Mm-hmm.
And you see some of these guys literally killing themselves to do this. Like, they're going into health debt to get financial wealth.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, you're doing CrossFit every day.
Yeah.
I work out and stay active. So
sure.
I think health and your ability to perform the work or the duties at hand is very, very
key. It's so correlated, you know.
Yeah.
Like, prepping, just all the stuff, right? I mean, you know, we know how it works. You got to eat right, you got to work out, you got to sleep enough. The end. But yeah, the health debt thing is interesting too, because, you know, I mean, you and I have seen it with people that we've worked with, where, you know, they work, and at the end of the day, you know, it's Adderall and Red Bull and God knows what else, you know, and just, and it's great to see them succeed, but at the same time, you know, you're going to see that person in your gym in 5 years struggling to lift a tenth of what you can lift, right?
Or it's like they have all the wealth or the freedom, but then they don't have the flesh vehicle to use any of that or enjoy it.
Yeah, you can't take it with you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So. It's like, oh, I died on all this money. Cool. Wait, you get an expensive coffin. Congrats. Right. You know? Like, you can't.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another one that I know you and I have talked about that a lot. It's like, you know, short versus long term. You know, it's delayed gratification. Like,
right.
Yeah, dude, laying on the couch eating pizza is awesome. Right. I love it, right?
It's easy to do.
Yeah, yeah. Same, you know, I can sit around and drink beer all day, mm-hmm. but you can't do that. You
right.
know?
I mean, it just, it doesn't work as a, it's not a sustainable business model.
Right. And yeah. I think if you do have those activities in your life and you want to be super fit, you want to be super wealthy, and you want to be like cognitively or mentally sharp.
Sure.
Like the gap there is big, and that's where all the anxiety and stress and pressure and all that comes from.
Yep.
You know, if your activities or your daily output doesn't match your goals or expectations, that middle ground is where you're going to pollute.
Yeah, and then, you know, and if people, they get freaked out, they make bad choices, they start putting Band-Aids on, you know, big wounds, and it becomes a problem, so. But yeah, No, it's just such an interesting culture, you know, because like when I stepped into it, you know, I met you and Jesse, and then I had no idea
what you're getting into.
I'm like, what's wholesaling? Huh? You know, like I come from the world, like you buy a property, you fix it up, you rent it out, and you go find another one. You
right.
know? It's not rocket science.
Right.
And you know, getting into it and like the cultural stuff, you know, and I think that's ultimately probably what drove me to, you know, work at those offices and then get to where I am now. It's like, I don't care what kind of watch you have. I mean, if you have one and you like watches, cool, man, get a watch.
Right.
Like, I'm all about it, right? That's what floats your boat, you know. I know you like fast cars. I got a few toys in the garage, as we all know. But, you know, the culture of that and really just trying to do the right thing, you know, by yourself and by other people.
Yeah.
That's been a hard one because, you know, I mean, I remember getting in and, you know, competing for deals or people are backstabbing or any of those other things. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know this. There's always another deal out there.
Yeah.
Always.
There is. And I think that's the other thing, too. The last, like, maybe year, especially with, like, you know, the groups that the owners of the company are masterminding with, and Brandon Simmons puts on the Go Giver meetup, which is awesome. So there's just this huge abundance mindset that a lot of the people that circle in this wholesaling Phoenix bubble kind of abide by. And I mean, there's thousands of homes here. People are buying and selling something every day.
Oh, yeah.
There's enough for everyone.
Sure.
It's not like, oh, no. Darwin knows a little sales secret or acquisition tip that he told this guy. Now,
but
I'm
I don't know it.
There's none of that.
No, it's about how many hours are you willing to put on the phones? How many texts can you send? You know, how hard are you willing to grind? So,
yeah.
But yeah, and it's just, I think that's just kind of how the cream rises to the top. You know, it's just people who are willing to kind of do the right blend, right? Like the work-life balance and really kind of find their flow, if you will.
Right.
You're like, all right, cool. I am a good worker for 7 or 8 hours a day, which that's a long work
day.
That's
a really
long
day, yeah.
Right? If you're on, 7 or 8 hours is exhausting.
Yeah, you got to split that up with some breaks or something.
Absolutely. But, you know, that's also prefaced by, hey, I need to be eating right. I need to go hit the gym.
Right,
you
right.
You know, like, I need to make sure I sleep.
You know, which a lot of people don't do enough, and then they're cracking an energy drink on the way to work.
Too many of them.
Four or five cups of coffee. You know,
I've been guilty of that in the past, for the record. So
I didn't even drink coffee till I got involved with Highest Cash Offer, and then it was Nitro Cold Brew.
Man, that place! So God, I mean, such a great time. Like I had so much fun working there, but it was just a shit show.
Yeah. So. I think one of the coolest experiences was seeing the companies grow from like Danny's kitchen table the Old Town office suite above the coffee bean, you know?
Oh, that was so much fun. Because I mean, I remember when I met all you guys, you know, we were literally in Danny's living room. Like her kitchen was still all torn up because they hadn't remodeled it.
Whiteboard paint on the walls.
Yeah. Lola's barking in the backyard, the long guy. Like we're all on laptops just scrambling for deals.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that was... It's fun to have those experiences for sure, and they're doing very well, and you know.
I think it's awesome. Let me ask you: do you enjoy the thrill, or like get a little adrenaline rush for the chase to find your next multifamily or next apartment built, right?
Oh yeah, dude. Like, you know that feeling
like
of a deal?
It's like, yeah.
It's like fish on,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, so if you get, multi's a little different, but I mean, it's still the same thing, right?
It's like whale hunting.
It's whale hunting, straight up, man. You might go a long time and not eat,
right.
But then when you get one, it's awesome.
It's good.
But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, kind of once you learn that mentality, like the chase thing never really goes away.
Right.
You know, and you know me, like one of my favorite things to do is negotiate on property. Right. So
because that win is so satisfying, right?
It is. It's hugely satisfying. Yeah. And then the stakes are just, you know, when you get up into the multifamily space, the stakes are a lot higher.
True.
Right. We're not negotiating for, you know, us ceiling fans and toilets,
or something. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, hey, I got to repipe 4 units and that's 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or hey, I need 4 kitchens,
right?
At $5,000 a pop,
right.
You know, or you move up into the even bigger stuff. You know, you start multiplying these costs. You know,
right.
A roof is not $8,000; a roof is 30.
Right.
You know,
that's true.
But yeah, man, I don't think that ever goes away. You know, the thrill of like, and then you know this. I mean, you know, you've walked around properties where you were involved in them. You know, and for me, like, it's super satisfying. I was at the office building earlier today letting a tenant in. She just moved in. But, you know, it's like you walk around this place. I'm like, you know, I found it. I negotiated the financing.
Did the work.
Like,
on it. Yeah.
I mean, there's literally, there's a pint of my blood running around that place. Like, you know, I remember, like, I think I drilled my finger one time, like, mounting something in the back. You know, I put the solar panels on the roof. It's just, it's super satisfying to not only, like, the chase, the hunt. You take the property down, but then you turn it into something.
You built and created something.
Yeah. And that's, I mean,
yeah, it's awesome.
You know, it's kind of like where, you know, where your role has been with Net Cash Offer is that, you know, as you stepped in, because I watched this happen from Highest Cash Offer, you know, you kind of step into more of like the tech role and like you've built a lot of the back end infrastructure on that company.
Mm-hmm.
And like now it's a machine, you know? Mm-hmm. You can dial in and I mean, it's like you're running the matrix. You're like, all right, we got the data coming in here, we got the calls here, we got, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, it's cool to see.
It's really weird, yeah. Something I never thought I'd be doing or like jumping
into. You started
into.
What, playing golf?
Yeah, originally that's how I met Jesse. It was through golf, and then we went our separate ways after college.
Mm-hmm.
Reconnected when we kind of fizzled out the golf dream.
Sure.
And that's where Danny and Jared's kind of kitchen table popped
really?
In, and that was my first like, whoa, this is so cool. There's just properties everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, it's so neat to see.
This looks awesome. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's kind of one of those. I mean, I think like. Once you've been in the business and you kind of get the bug, like everyone takes their own iteration, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I always knew like I wanted rentals and I want a bunch of them because I like that. And, you know, and some people want to be like big wholesalers, but, you know, but once you get that property bug, I don't think it ever really goes away.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this fly today.
I think the wholesaling game has its ebbs and flows of it.
Mm.
I mean, it's very profitable, very lucrative if you have a system set up.
Sure.
But if you're trying to do it as like a one-man show, that
yeah,
it's doable. I'm not saying it's not doable.
Sure.
It's just a lot of hats to wear for one person.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've looked at the companies that have done well, you know, and kind of sketching out a system like, all right, how would I do this, and you know, how do you automate that? But it is. It would be tough for one person to make it work.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you could do it. With the way the deals are right now, you know, you do 2 or 3 deals a month, and that's a pretty decent living.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? But it's going to take you a while to get there.
Right.
You know?
It will. Like and you need some kind of capital to be able to take these down and flip them so you're not just paying hard money cost out the other end like crazy.
Oh, my God. The hard money will murder you, you know?
Which those guys are almost making more than the flippers, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, they are. I mean, you know, he who has the gold makes the rules, man.
True.
You know?
True.
But it's an interesting journey for sure. And I mean, I'm super curious to see what the next 3 to 5 years brings.
Yeah.
You know, like where
definitely.
The space you guys are playing in and kind of what iterations happen or, you know, as we know, like, the one thing that's pretty certain in wholesaling is that tomorrow will probably not be like today because stuff changes
all
the
time.
You know?
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons why I think we both got into this, or at least I did, was both smart, analytical people. We're both left-handed. And you could see, like, from the crash, you know, what goes up must come down. We've been on this roar for a decade now.
I know.
I thought that 3 years ago I was going to be positioned with the knowledge and the wherewithal to capitalize on a downturn.
Yeah.
I haven't quite had that yet. So
not even close.
It's
dude, you and
fun.
I used to
it's
talk about that at lunch all the time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, when's the crash? When's the crash?
Right. Still no crash.
Not coming anytime soon. 3 years later.
Yeah. It's still no crash. So
I think everyone that's like hedging or preparing for that, you know, it might not come. Just keep doing what you're doing to thrive in the now.
Yeah, and there's, and you know this, man, there's no substitute for buying right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I hear this all the time, like, well, when's a good time to get into rentals? When you can buy it right.
Yeah.
I don't care what the market's doing, I don't care what color socks you're wearing.
Right.
Like, if you can buy right on fundamentals, you're fine.
It's good. But like, knowing those fundamentals takes a lot of homework.
It does.
This is something that you don't need a college degree for. There's no courses to certify you to be a real estate underwriter.
No.
You just need to do it and understand what you're looking at. You know, a lot of people don't, and they buy wrong.
Yeah.
Or they believe someone else because they had an agent that told them.
Yeah, or they swipe someone else's calculator, you know. I mean, there's a lot of ways to screw it up, but, you know, it's just, you don't need a college degree, and that's the cool part. I mean, you know, I studied Spanish in college. So that basically means, like, now I can collect rent from some of my tenants. And
it pays dividends in what you're doing now, though.
Oh, absolutely. Construction and rentals. Yeah, I need that. But the, you know, what you touched on earlier, it's just, it's super, super important. You know, you have to, you got to be able to at least educate yourself and know underwriting and know the realities behind things. Because I just see, you know, I see too many wholesalers out there that are trying to make a fast buck off a newbie flipper.
Right.
Which is the wrong attitude to have.
Right.
You know?
Like, or it's just they get like shiny object syndrome. It's like, oh, I'm going to try to hire a VA to cold call for me. Oh, I'm going to try to send text messages. Oh, I'm going to send some mail. It's like, try to stick to one thing until you've like perfected it and it works.
Sure. Stay in your lane.
Yeah. So you don't bog yourself down with too many avenues of marketing or too many ways of going about getting
Do you remember those days at the office? Like, we'd come in, like, we got all this new stuff. It's like, oh man, I just want to call the leads and close the leads and I want to go home.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
No.
Is there someone I could talk to that has a situation where they might need to sell?
Yeah. That's all I like. Cool. You got new software. I don't care. Like, how many leads? How many can I close? And then I'm leaving. I gotta make the gym at 4.
Right.
But yeah.
But the back end of that is like not everyone's personality or strengths would shine in that atmosphere. Like,
of course.
The person that's back coding all the SEO stuff and doing landing pages and writing blog articles is probably not going to be your sales assassin on the telephone.
No.
You know?
Yeah, no, you need a team for sure.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have all those things put together. But
yeah,
just so many different personalities it takes to run it. But yeah, the shiny object syndrome, man, I do not wish that on anybody.
Yeah. You know? Or even now, it's just like, who do you listen to? You know, there's so many different gurus or coaches or theories out there, but there's something that's going to work for you, and you need to use that.
Yeah. Any good ones you've come across recently?
Honestly, like, the two books that I would say that have helped the most was the David Sandler, You Can't Teach a Kid to Ride a Bike at a Seminar.
Such a great book. How terrible is that title, by the way? It's so bad.
It's so bad, but it's so funny because that is like everyone thinks they can come to a real estate seminar not knowing how to ride a bike, and then you're going to be Travis Pastrana doing backflips on, you know,
that's not
as
how
you
that
leave.
Would, yeah.
Riding your it, Lambo out of there.
No, know? It's accurate, but it's, God, so, it's such a bad title.
But that's a great book. Just the way you go about it really changed my perspective on communicating and talking to people.
Sure.
And then Chris Voss.
He's the best.
That one just about negotiating and stuff was great. I know the Sandler stuff has two other books out right now that he just released. I haven't read them.
I haven't either, to be honest with you.
And just going through that like sales system, I think, is key. You know, it goes back to like having a plan, being prepared.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, like you said, we're on the phone with someone, it's essentially an open book test, and if you're not cheating, you're not going to be the guy getting the best deal. So don't be afraid to have little whiteboard you know, one-liners up there, a little calculation, a checklist or a box of information you got to gather.
Mean, dude, I love it. Stack the deck in your favor every time, you know?
We would literally, like, role-play a conversation before we called that person just to flush out potential outcomes.
I don't like fair fights.
Right.
They're exhausting.
Right.
Oh.
You know, the guys that are training to box, they're in there putting in the hours. They're not in there like, oh, I'm going to knock them out. You know, everyone thinks they can. But
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely got to put in the work. And, you know, I always love to show, like, the back end part of people's desks, right? So, like, if you're on the phone, you're talking about property.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm talking to you, but I got a whole wall in front of me.
Exactly.
I've got the sales process here. I've got underwriting here. I've got three computers set up so I can access all the information.
I mean,
it is, you know, I don't want to bring a gun to a knife fight. I want to bring a nuclear warhead.
Right,
right?
Exactly.
Because then it's just like, bink, done.
Exactly.
On to the next.
And one of the things that Darwin did really good was, like, maybe if you could talk a little about some of the renegotiating or your haircuts.
No, oh,
I mean,
those are
I've
my
seen
favorite.
You pull off those more successfully than anybody.
Those are so much fun. What he's talking about is, a lot of times, you know, when we were first getting started in this, our calculators weren't great.
Right.
So in a lot of wholesaling offices, you've got a guy or a couple guys or girls that tell you what price you can pay for a home. So we call it the quant, because the Big Short was just constantly playing in the background. But what happens is you lock in a property for a price, and then you got to come back and you got to haircut it. What that means, you need it for less money. And so those were some of the hardest ones to do, but for me, they were the most fun kind of intellectually. It's like, all right, how do I convince this person to see my way?
Right.
And so you had, you know, you have this house right here, and it $200,000. It turns out you need it for $180,000. Okay, how do I make up $20,000?
Right.
And then that process was, you know, well, you don't make up $20,000. You make up $50,000, and you give them back $30,000, and you get your $20,000.
Right.
And so that's when we really, like, I think you remember this at Highest Cash Offer, but, you know, we didn't have any training, right?
Not really.
Here's a phone, make
just
some money
people,
come out of it,
lock up deals,
and then go away. No, that's not going to work. So that's when I really got down the rabbit hole of, like, how do you negotiate well? What are tangible things? What are the psychological edges and all of that kind of thing about the haircut?
Right.
You know,
they make an emotional decision and
justify it intellectually, right?
Yeah.
And it's incredibly powerful. I didn't believe it for a long time, and then it started making me money. I'm like, okay, that works. But, you know, and so much of it has to do with just, you know, that's when we started studying, remember, like, all the books on rapport and, like, you know.
Oh, the Schmooze.
The Mr. Schmooze and Robert Cialdini and all of these guys. And then, you know, the other part of it, too, that you remember is taking blame on yourself that's not real.
Right.
Right? So, like, you know, you and I talk a lot about this, about, like, taking ego out of the equation.
Yeah.
Like,
if you need, like,
it is tough, right? But at the same time, right, if you knew you could sell me that glass for $1,000, but you had to sit here and listen to me cuss at you for 10 minutes.
Right.
Sold, right?
Right.
Because, you know, the separation of who you are versus your role and all that other, you know, the Jedi mind tricks, if you will, like, that's really what it came down to with the haircuts. Where it's like, listen, it's kind of like dating, right? Like, it's not you, it's me.
Right.
Same deal.
Right.
And you're deflecting that energy, but... Yeah, man, the haircuts, like, and I still get random texts from the Highest Cash Offer crew every once in a while, like, hey, can you haircut this guy?
Yeah, hey, we need a little price drop script or role play scenario.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I enjoy that kind of stuff. It's got to be fair for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you also know, like, you tend to, like, there's usually a reason you have to haircut people.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, a seller lies, a house is, you know, there's a random dude you don't know about with a belt on his arm, you know, I mean, the interior's trashed, so you have to, you know, part of it is just letting them see reality.
Right.
You know, it's been, yeah, man, it's an interesting time for sure. So, anyhow, so what's next for you?
I'm trying to get more of this disposition stuff, like, you know, not systemized, but, like, working the machine a little smoother.
Yeah, really dialed
right
in.
Now it's new to me, and we have a lot of deals right now. So
awesome.
I'm doing everything from opening escrow, putting the marketing out on websites, MailChimp, ManyChat, text message.
And then fielding all that inbound?
Handling all the buyer calls, questions, trying to set up walkthroughs, taking pictures, you know. That whole show. So
damn, I thought being a landlord sounded tiring.
So it's a whole different beast, and like yeah. I said, I'm learning things on that end of it as far as like code violation liens getting applied to a property, mm-hmm. child support liens we gotta take care of in a different state, like
Jesus.
What potential roadblocks you might have that you uncover in escrow that would prevent you to close.
Sure.
I've gotta solve that problem because this is a $10,000 to $30,000 deal we're moving
yeah.
through, and this issue's got to go away.
Sure.
You know, so.
So you're like lawyer, bail bondsman, counselor, psychiatrist, everything rolled into one.
Yeah, transaction coordinator, trying to manage expectations of the acquisition guys because
sure.
they get something that's a good deal. You know, they
yeah.
want their assignment fee because they're getting paid a commission off that.
Sure, you want it to close.
And I've got to get that property through and closed or else yeah. they don't get paid. I don't get paid. The
yeah.
company's losing money on the lead gen and all these systems. So.
Oh yeah!
It's like I feel like I'm the fourth guy in the 4x100
yeah.
relay race, and it's like
you gotta
oh,
do that.
But it's me.
Yeah. yeah, gotta get this last lap
yeah.
done. Oh,
so,
that is too funny.
Some of it can be like a little bit of a clusterfuck, but it's just
sure.
you know, having a system in place. Like we use Podio and Excel,
mm-hmm.
and I've tried. I got everything through that digital recorder service with the county.
Sure.
So we've got things kind of
got it dialed
up
in.
And dialed in. It's just being
nice.
Able to turn a higher volume through that
yeah.
system. You know, there's
sure.
a max capacity you reach at some point.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting close. We're getting close.
Hey, that's good.
I think
you know?
We have like 23 deals in escrow right now.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Two in Dallas. The rest are here in Phoenix.
Okay. So Dallas and Phoenix are the big markets, huh?
Yeah. At least yeah. ones that we're marketing in. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
So... It's
man.
A lot of pieces moving and a lot of pieces moving and shaking.
Yeah. Well, good.
But it's cool. I enjoy it. It's that race, you know?
Yeah, I hear you, man. It gets in your blood. It never really goes
yeah.
away. So
yeah.
never does. Well, cool, man. Well, I really appreciate you coming out and having a beer with me. This was awesome.
Darn, you've been a huge kind of mentor in the first few
yeah.
years and really expanded my... You know,
I appreciate
sales
it.
Skill and stuff. So,
yeah.
guys, check out his channel.
Yeah,
a lot
thank
of
you.
Nuggets are dropped in there. If you're interested in wholesaling or learning how
yeah.
this stuff works, check it out.
I'll tell you how to do it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, though.
You got to put in the work. Yeah.
yeah. It's, no, absolutely. So
it's long days for sure.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all worth it. So, anyway, well, guys, I appreciate you watching. Again, check out Brian Roberts. Net Cash Offer is their company. Check them out. And, man, thank you again for being
Thanks,
here.
Darn.
So, until the next time, deuces. Thank you for listening. I really do appreciate it. And I hope this episode was helpful for you. For more content, please find me on YouTube or Instagram at Darwin Crawford. I look forward to the next time sharing an experience and a beer and a story with everyone involved. Have a great one.